What's up, everyone? This is Press X to Start Podcast, aka Press X to review Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. In case you forgot, Press X is seeking to transform the video game media landscape through an underserved and protective point of view, restorative justice for the underrepresented program developers and consumers. I am your host, DJ, aka Sexy Bad Choices, aka Did You Know?
No.
The Krager Bear in Ratchet and Clank A Rift Apart is actually kind of special because this is for one of their video game artists that actually passed away in 2019. His name was, I have it, give me a second, where is his name? Craig Goodman. He was an artist for Ratchet and Clank, as I said before, Song of the Deep, and Marvel's Spider-Man.
Oh. So,
okay.
That's Press have to pay respect.
Rest in peace of that man.
Definitely.
I am Sean M.F. Ross.
What the M.F. stand for?
I'm that special gun you get after the Rhino.
Oh, wow.
Knowing Sean and the amount of guns that he just has, it's entirely possible.
Just laying Sean, around the house.
Sean, what kind of ammo does it take?
Glove? I don't know.
Bullet! Sean, you're going to have that gun ASMR video?
That shit is immaculate. That's so awesome. All right, let's make this. Everything better and worse. Go ahead.
At the same time.
I am your heavyweight champion from Wichnickerwood, California, a.k.a. the janitor because of Bewatched Niggas, a.k.a. through the wire because my mouth is full of stitches.
Through the wire.
Marcus Ellison.
Why is your mouth full of stitches? What happened?
So I had a tooth extraction and then a bone graft to hold things in place so that there's no gaping hole in my mouth. And
you could have told us anything and you chose to go with the truth.
Look, man. Look, man. I'm on drugs.
Hard cut to Marcus at the
you
end of the
You could have said they were shooting while you was in the studio recording your debut album.
Kind of might drop it.
Marcus, a.k.a. I like drugs.
I'm about to drop the hardest podcast this summer. 8 podcasts a day.
Like hard cut to Marcus, like looking at a corkboard of like pictures of his past achievements.
Yep, that was me. Who else?
And Jordan, aka JXBot, aka the Psychonaut, maybe? I don't know. I've been playing all these fucking games for no reason. Jordan to Rift Apart, sure.
Okay. All right. I like that.
And rounding it out, I am Avery Williams. I'm just trying to get away with it. Still haven't, but working on it.
What are you trying to get away with?
You know, Hoffma's in the chat.
Okay.
I'm just trying to get away with it.
Anyway.
And with that being said, in case you haven't realized, this is actually a video podcast. We also will be releasing this in audio format. So if you want to see the wonderful AKAs we just gave, make sure you go to our website at pressx2start.com/YouTube. And that'll take you right to our YouTube page. All right. With that being done, our introductions being done, let's get into the spoiler-free version of our takes on Ratchet and Clank A Rift Apart. Let's go with Avery first.
Okay, so, yeah, I'm a long-time Ratchet and Clank fan, and this game was just another bullet in the chamber of Sony trying to hold off Xbox with quality exclusives. I think this game is really fun. It is a joy to play, and it is sort of the feather in the hat of Insomniac really coming out of the gate and proving themselves to be a quality AAA studio. Like, they've always been, like, if you follow them from the first Ratchet game, even the Spyro game, you've always known that they're like an amazing studio. But with the fact that they release Spider-Man, and then they were able to release Miles Morales, a solid quality game at the beginning of this generation, and then pretty much, I think it's actually about more 9 months, but like in a pretty quick turnaround, they were able to release this full-featured, well-designed, and fun game by the it was in such a short time is super impressive. And like, it's one of those, this is one of those games without giving my full like breakdown on it that like I'm very excited to see how people's feelings for it progress towards the end of the year. Cause mine are pretty high.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Cool. Jordan.
Yeah, like the last time I played a Ratchet & Clank game was Ratchet & Clank 2016. But prior to that, I played the original series back on the PlayStation 2, you know, original Ratchet & Clank, Ratchet & Clank Going Commando, and Up Your Arsenal. Yeah, I do believe that this game is an excellent showcase of PS5's capabilities. Its ability to handle much content on the screen at once and still, you know, have a high resolution and frame rate at the same time. But for the most part, this is a game that I enjoyed, but it may be a while till I go back to because of how of a singular type, you know, story it was. And also, this is one of the first games this generation where I paid $70 for, and now I'm trying to get to like reorient myself about how much content am I getting back after a $7 purchase. So, you know, it being a PS5 showcase, the question is like, is this like a bit of a one and done, or could I have waited later to play it? Like, that's what I'm trying to grapple with right now. But overall, it was pretty engaging. It was a pretty fun game. Creative weapons, the humor, you know, I think you're gonna have two types of fans here, where those are like the more mature humor of the original series back on the PS2 versus this more PG family friendly humor, which is becoming more prominent in the series. I do think I'm more of a original series type humor because of how much risks it took, I guess. I don't know. But there were some jokes in this game that had some sexual innuendos. I did catch that at times. But yeah, overall, it was a pretty fun romp. You know, I would recommend trying it out.
Okay. Marcus? I believe you beat it before Sean.
As the resident, I guess, Ratchet and Clank newbie, this...
Newbie? Let's beat his ass.
Please, don't hurt me, sir. I'll give you my drugs. this being my second Ratchet and Clank game that I played, 2016 being the other one, this definitely didn't so much make me regret not playing the older ones, but definitely opened my eyes to just how good of a franchise this has been, and kind of validated this understanding in the gaming community that Ratchet is like a top tier platformer. And now that I've experienced it firsthand, I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, no, totally get it. I thought 2016 was pretty cool, but this one kind of really
see the progression.
Yeah, it really blew the doors off of kind of what it means to be a platformer. I feel like in a way that I don't really feel like a platformer has done since maybe like one of the more ambitious Mario games. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it was really impressive what they were able to accomplish here. And I enjoyed myself thoroughly from start to finish. The beginning of it was a little bit rough for me, but once it really, really slid into its momentum, it just was firing on all cylinders. Oh, good Lord. Once it got there, yeah, it was just hitting in all cylinders, and I really enjoyed it. So, yeah, I would also highly recommend this one.
Okay. And Sean?
I have no complaints with this game. I ran through it twice already. I wish the experience was a little bit longer, but of course you don't want a game to drag out. Touching on what Jordan said, I can understand why people feel like they're not getting their money's worth if you're not getting X amount of hours of gameplay with something, or it's a certain style. I mean, I think that was the same argument with Returnal. But I think we got to measure quality over quantity.
Yeah, but that's always hard to do.
Yeah, but I love the game. I have no complaints. It was a solid progression from the earlier games. I missed out on the PS3 games because I didn't have a PS3 until like shortly before Last of Us came out.
Missing out.
Yeah, but I can't wait for the sequel.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, pretty much everyone's kind of on the same page. I'm on the same page as everyone else. I really, really enjoy this game right now. Right now, me and my wife are going to play It Takes Two, but like, this is my game of the year so far. I absolutely loved the story. I loved meeting Rivet, meeting Kit, and just the way that the game split up Ratchet and Clank and then have those characters introduce you to Rivet and Kit. Like, I think that was a really cool decision, and it worked really well. I didn't really have any issues story-wise. In terms of gameplay, I absolutely love the gameplay. It is Ratchet and Clank, so you just have to take that with what it is, which is jumping and shooting. And in this game, they added the Phantom Dash, which on the face of it was like, oh, cool, you just get a dash. But they actually put a lot of care into this skill where you could actually use it in very different ways. Another thing they added later on was like I think they showed it in the trailer, so it's not spoilers or anything, but like the rocket boost, mm-hmm. which is really cool. What I didn't know is that you can actually skate around certain objects with the rocket boots,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't find that out to the very end of the game, and I was just like, oh my gosh. So like there is such a level of depth and care when it comes to gameplay in Ratchet & Clank games, and this just improved upon that formula. Yeah, like I really enjoyed my time. I did have a few issues playing the game. One of them bricked my console at the beginning, but the game was so strong that it didn't necessarily hamper my experience with the game, like, or hamper my enjoyment or anything like that. It just was, all right, I got to just restart and continue doing what I love doing in this game. So yeah, like they did a fantastic job, and it is amazing to see that they pushed out Spider-Man and Miles Morales and then this, and mm-hmm. then we have Spider-Man 2 Horizon. It's just, this is a really strong studio.
One of the best out there.
Yeah. And I would recommend this game. Definitely press X on it.
We're not that far yet.
Yeah, well, you made the notes, well, my guy. Follow them, please.
Actually, I made the notes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, DJ. I mean, do you guys have anything else to say before we jump to spoilers?
No, I want to. Oh, yeah. Before I get into my more detailed thoughts, I prefer to get into spoilers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. With that being said, oh my god, guys, we nailed it. We're at 14:53. And we awesome. Gave ourselves 15 minutes. So now what I'm going to do is run time up because I'm a goon. Anyways, now with that being said, it's time to dive in with the spoiler chat. So Avery, I believe you had something to say.
Okay, so I wanted to elucidate this more in my non-spoiler thing, but I think it'd more be apt in a more in-depth spoiler discussion. DJ, you said that this was your game of the year this year. Mm-hmm. And for me, as much as I love this game, I can't make it my game of the year because I had the Ratchet & Clank deja vu in which I had played every Ratchet & Clank. This game is an evolution of Ratchet & Clank. As much as I love Ratchet & Clank, at the end of the day, this game is another Ratchet & Clank. While there is an evolution of gameplay mechanics. There's not really a evolution of game structure. So it just feels like a better Ratchet rather than a brand new Ratchet.
A more streamlined.
Yes.
I mean, I hear that, but I also don't think that's a problem. If it's
it's not a problem. You know, but that's just me saying, putting my two cents into its game conversation.
I do have a question for you in regards to that. So would you say the same thing for, I guess, say, Devil May Cry 5?
Yes and no. Mm. Because, mechanically, Devil May Cry 5 is doing something that Devil May Cry haven't really done since 2, which we've all forgotten about, and it's making you play 3 different characters, and unlike 2, all 3 of those characters play fundamentally differently.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Fair enough. Yeah, because this game, even though I will say one of the things that I was disappointed by early on in the kind of rougher section of the game for me was that there really fundamentally wasn't any difference between Rivet or Ratchet play style wise. So I remember when we officially got to playing with Rivet, I was hoping maybe to have some new weapons or maybe some
differentials. Yeah, I was definitely hoping that Rivet was going to have different guns.
Yeah. And so it was
I get why they didn't, but it was
disappointing because I remember when we switched over, it was kind of weird to me that like she would have the exact same weapons that he has, and like
it wasn't even the exact same weapons, because there's a little bit in the story where like when you meet Mrs. Zircon, like Ratchet is buying stuff on Rivet's account, so like there's an understanding that she would get stuff as well, but then like Ratchet would get like the rocket boots, and then
when you next play as Rivet, she has it,
and like, she has it as well. So I'm like, okay, there's like, I get why they're doing this. But it's
one of those things also where like I don't like to do this, but we're kind of far enough along in the kind of the gaming generations where we're getting to this weird uncanny valley where like attention to detail is a big thing. And one thing that it's a minor thing, but I remember I was going through the world map like early on in the game, and this was before Ratchet and Rivet even really knew about one another. And I ended up going back to another world on accident, and she was like, I wonder what Ratchet's up to. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know,
dialogue when it probably
it's minor things, but it's like, you know, at this point, I'm kind of wondering if people should like be really paying more attention to those little things just for the sake of immersion. Yeah.
Like when I went through another section and I had, I think, Clank on my back for the first section, but then I had
Kit
on my back, but you still hear Clank's.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That didn't happen to me.
Yeah, I think
you probably didn't go back
when you go again. When you go back to the monk, the death, like the big wasteland monk world. Like that section was built for Ratchet and Rivet. Ratchet and Kit. When I went back as Ratchet, but I had Clank on my back. That's another weird thing the game does, that the worlds are tied to the different characters. So even though the characters are interchangeable, like you can't, if you're playing as Ratchet, you'll always go back to a world that Ratchet played on as Ratchet. So like I went back with Ratchet with Clank on my back, and he was, and I had to redo it, that section where you're like racing around on those bridges.
Yeah.
Like Time Cycle section. And like, I was just hearing Rivet dialogue. I'm sorry, Kit dialogue. And like,
this is a
QO quality of life thing that's really it's only going to bother people who go back to areas in the game, which theoretically I think they're designing this game that like there's a lot of stuff you can go back to, but most of the stuff I went back to was just like stuff that like they don't really, not that they don't want you, but like they expect you to do that they expect you to do that the first time you went through.
Right.
And these are just like nitpicks more than anything, really.
Yeah. These are minor nitpicks.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, because right now we are kind of just talking story, right? A little bit story?
Well,
Quality, you're right. It's quality. Yeah. I guess just to steer a conversation towards the story, I think if I were to nitpick something, it would be, I thought the story was really great. I felt that actually, this is more so gameplay, not even story. My bad. I thought the story was great. I did enjoy the the twist where Rivet realizes that Kit was the robot that took her arm or whatever.
I don't even know if I would call that a twist, more so a reveal, because it's telegraphed very early.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, when, because you find out that Rivet lost her arm when she's talking to Clank in the in her little base, right?
Right. Yeah.
And then later on, you find that Kit
that's actually the robot racist.
She's like, what's her name? Ashley from Mass Effect.
Ask her the reason. She went through the Turian War.
I mean, Rivet has a reason she lost her arm.
Fair play.
Violently, apparently. Well, actually, no, because she was like walking off. I guess the arm was like mangled or something. Anyway,
it was a PG losing her arm. Like her arm was still attached. It just wasn't working.
Right.
She hit that Vegeta.
Exactly. But not, and I agree with you though. Like, I think that, I don't know if it was you, DJ, or Sean that said this, but this felt like playing a Pixar movie.
That was me. Sean.
Yeah. It felt like playing a really, really good Pixar movie.
The story beats, the musical tones when they hit all that, even the credits, the way they rolled, it just.
Yeah. Like I really, really enjoyed the story that they were telling here.
Yeah.
The way that, like Avery said, they split up, Ratchet and Clank and introduced these new characters and had them interact with each other, and reveal new things about themselves through these new interactions was really great. And the way that they were able to make a dimension hopping story work without getting over or super convoluted was also very impressive on their part. And the way they ramped up the tension, or the way that they built up to set pieces, was also extremely impressive.
Yeah, like when Nefarious was brown people in Rifts, I was like, is he just throwing them in random places? Like, how are they gonna work on this?
Like, he throws a box full of people into a rift, and Ratchet and Rivet treat it like he's just murdered a group of people.
Yeah, well,
PG murdered a group of people, but it's like in regards to the story and its characters, I think they've done such a good job with Rivet that they now have a problem if they continue making Ratchet games in
without including her.
Yeah,
in some fashion.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be a thing where, like, she is going to be included now, because essentially the game ends with them having the Dimensionator and it's not broken or anything, and they have a good relationship. So I can imagine there's going to be some, cross dimension thing. It probably won't be played upon, but it'll be like, oh yeah, we went to Rivet's dimension just to chill, and Nefarious is something or Mega Nefarious or whatever.
I think I ended this story in terms of my impressions of Rivet as a character the same way it began, just trying to understand how she fits in the overall narrative of Ratchet, who's like the main focus. I wish there was more time to flesh out her. I know she's like, something happened with her father, and that dimension's Nefarious. That wasn't really explained, but I imagine he probably just died, I guess.
Yeah, they're both the last Lombaxes.
Well, wait, Jordan, you continue. You finish your thought.
Okay. Kit, I said, you know Akuma, DJ?
Akuma, which one?
The dancer.
Again?
Oh. That sounds familiar. Continue.
So he was streaming the game on Facebook, and he got to the section with Kit, and I was like, I kind of said, get ready for a lot of sadness from Kit.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Kit, you need to go, because only one of us can be depressed up on the ship. Like, we can't have two people depressed. Like, she was like, Kit was just mad depressed. And I mean, I know that, it's important that, it's the anxiety that Kit was going through, the, you know, disassociation as a protective mechanism. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But when you're going through mental health things and you have this character going through mental health things, like, come on, kid, gotta figure it out. Right. I'm trying to figure it out myself.
Kid was probably like, my favorite character in the game.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I think the Kit Ratchet relationship is so fantastic to the point where I was like, is this just is going to be Ratchet and Kit going forward? Because I actually really love this dynamic more than I love Ratchet and Clank. Because
the thing is,
When Clank was like, oh, I figured out how to stop the Dimensionator, or what, like, how to like pull the stuff together, I thought, like, oh, he's going to have to sacrifice himself. I don't like how this is going to go. I'm scared.
One thing that I want to praise the game for, again, with the story and splitting it up, is the Kit and Ratchet relationship was really good, but I also thought that the Rivet and Clank relationship was very good as well, because like I said with how they were kind of revealing things about themselves, Clank kind of helped Rivet understand that, you know, she was coming from a bit more of a myopic point of view based off of trauma, and that maybe like there is room to heal there, whereas with Ratchet helping Kit kind of heal as well and, you know, become a hero in her own right. I thought both arcs were really good.
Part of me was frustrated with how Rivet took the revelation with Kit. Like, part of me was kind of like, you know, I mean, she had every right to be mad because it was her fucking arm that he took off. But at the same time, I don't know, maybe the way maybe the pacing of the story at a time, maybe more sympathetic to acknowledge that Kit was in a different, like, was being controlled. When I saw Rivet be angry at Kit,
was Kit being controlled?
Yeah, I don't think they were being controlled.
No, it seemed like she did it, realized, oh, I hurt somebody, and then walked away. But it was like, it's a weird moment, because that's an unclear bit of storytelling that they have problem with Kit, because when she goes into her Hulk mode, it appears like, it's a different personality. She can't control herself. But then when they show us that flashback of her and Rivet, she seems completely in control of herself, and it's the act of hurting Rivet that
you guys,
makes her pause.
It's the Iron Giant. It's
I think it's actually just meeting someone that you hurt after the fact. That's
How is she doing her job for so long that like Nefarious is like, it's a weird bit of narrative storytelling I have an issue with, but like
I understood
how much autonomy the robots have in this universe.
I understood it differently. I thought it was a thing of her fighting her program, because when she tells about, like, you know, she was a war robot or whatever you call it, it was
already
she had the red eyes. So like that was her program, was to do X, Y, and Z. I don't necessarily think, I think after she hurt Rivet, that might have been like, you know, a thing.
Oh God, I hurt a white woman.
That might have been a thing of just like, oh wait, what's happening right now? Normally I don't feel these, I don't feel emotion, but like now it's like something, I need to leave. And then, later on when she does come back to help Rivet, she turns to the robot, but she keeps the blue eye. So it's just like, okay, you figured out.
Wait, you see that? You see that? Blue eyes, good, red eyes, bad. What's going on there?
Blue eyes, yes, yellow.
Is the microaggression against our albino brothers.
Saying,
hey, they got the blue eyes white dragon, right? The red eye dragon.
Where's our Kariba? Third eye. Where's your Koofy?
No, I think they had these revealing interactions where they kind of revealed like each other's backstory and stuff. I really think that was included for people new to Ratchet and Clank, because Rift Apart is the first Ratchet and Clank for a lot of people.
Oh yeah.
But like, I have one more big story thing that I was really interested in the game exploring.
Wait, real quick before we jump, I did want to say one more thing. I, in terms of the Rivet and Kit dynamic, I really liked how Clank used his, I guess, essentially experience from just telling Rivet straight up like, you should forgive her, and Rivet's like, okay, yeah, maybe I should, and then she actually goes and like talks, and you know, stuff happens from there, but like she tries to forgive essentially,
right?
Yeah,
but yeah, continue.
So like they sort of established that this is a big Ratchet and Clank lore thing. We all know in the first Ratchet and Clank game, Ratchet was a Lombax, but there was no real like attention paid to what the Lombax were as a race. And as further games went to explore, oh, he's the last Lombax. And then this character who looks like a Lombax, not a Lombax, he just looks like a Lombax. It's super weird.
Are you talking about the PS3 joint, the tall woman?
She was in the PS2 one. I think she was the villain of the second Ratchet and game. I think Angela. I think her name is Angela. She's not a Lombax, whatever. So the PS3 game go to establish that his race was a race of crazy inventors who just made shit and didn't like never like paid attention to the consequences of any of their actions. They adopted this weird little alien dude who grew up to be evil and then betrayed them and tried to destroy them. So they all ran off to like an alternate dimension, and that's like a sort of crux of the Ratchet games going forward, which I think is a really cool through line. But I playing this game, I was under the impression up until they just beat it down that Rivet's not an alternate version of Ratchet, because Lombaxes are because that would mean that in her world as well, the Lombaxes also had to run away from a grand apocalypse and they're also hiding in another dimension. So I was under the assumption that she wasn't an alternate Ratchet so much as a Lombax-like Ratchet left in another dimension to be safe.
Yeah, they got spread around. You listen to all
the audio logs, which are dope as hell from like a greater PlayStation lore standpoint. Jack and Daxter is canon, let's go. from a greater PlayStation lore standpoint, pretty much talk about how like the Lombax, not only do they go to their Lombax utopia, they're also scattered across the dimensions to hide themselves. So I just assume that Rivet was just another castaway, not an alternate Ratchet. That's why she is a girl and not just like a different colored Ratchet.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There are two things that I want to say before we go into, I guess, gameplay talk. One, Glitch is also amazing. And I love her very much.
Oh yeah. She's
every time Glitch popped up, I was like, I love you and I will protect you at all costs.
She's just trying her best.
The little robot that went into the things and he had to break up the viruses.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that Glitch was going to be Ratchet's partner and not Kit, because none of the trailers revealed that Kit existed. So I thought Glitch was just going to be Ratchet's partner.
And then two, it's really funny timing that Rift Apart came out and then Loki came out. Given what they were touching on and exploring story wise, it's just kind of funny kind of lined up. But
why choose one storyline? We can shove four into one storyline and make it make sense. It's like maybe multiple. I mean, like it is a pretty good cutaway because not every story. Like there's been instances in which stories can't be introduced because of time constraints, but now this multidimensional concept, which is seeping in all forms of media nowadays, allows for characters to be introduced.
Let me ask you a question real quick.
Sorry, go ahead. I don't think I've ever asked you this question ever before, like ever in our lives. But would you prefer one or four bacon?
What?
What you mean, like to prepare?
No, to eat.
Four bacon, of course.
Exactly.
Bacon.
So four storylines is better than one. Okay, let's go.
Oh my god.
Go ahead, Marcus.
to your point, if they're all equally as good, then sure.
It's man.
I do agree though.
If that was a transition, Avery, I would be like, that was great.
Yeah, exactly. Like if it was I thought we were doing like an ad or something. I was like, oh well, I guess we.
Oh, we got sponsors now?
By bacon this week. You're right. But you just derailed the conversation. No, I do agree, Avery. I do agree, Avery, in terms of
poor London.
I also don't think that Rivet is, or I never really thought that Rivet was an alternate version of Ratchet. Rather, she was her own person.
Yeah.
And they were just thinking that they might be alternate versions of each other because they didn't have a
greater they don't understanding fully understand of what's going on.
All right, well, let's jump to the next section, which is the design / gameplay. I'll start with this. I did want to say something earlier, but I got my signals mixed up. I overall love the gameplay and I love the design of the gameplay in this game. The only thing that had me kind of wishing there was more, I wish there was more variety.
Variety. I was about to say Viagra.
I mean, this man made his podcast by saying podcast, so he's not having a great day.
You know, things. But yeah, I wish there was more things to do with your ability, with your weapons. So once I got the, was it headhunter or the sniper rifle?
Which you get super late in the game.
Yeah, I was.
Well, understandably, but super late in the game.
Yeah, I really wish I got that earlier, but like, I wish there was
asshole.
Maybe I will. But like, I really wish there was more interactivity with the enemies. So the headhunter, you can hit the weak points. For life of me, I didn't know what the fuck a weak point was for the other than the heads. Like, I think the giant bulky robot that shoots the unibeam out of his chest, I think the chest is the weak point. But like, playing the game, no weak point was called out until the nefarious battle at the end, where it's like, shoot the
television, shoot the monitors.
Yeah, and like, I feel like that should have been something that could have been played around with a lot better throughout the game.
Yeah.
But then again, like, I think there was that balance between having so many different weapons that did different things. So it was kind of like, it was supposed to be 20 weapons.
20. Yeah.
It's weird because on the weapons are one of my more not controversial, like more difficult things to wrap my head around in this game, because I'd have to go back to old Ratchet games to like really compare and contrast. But this is like the first time I played a Ratchet game where I felt like, wow, a lot of these guns are just the same guns, except a little bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This lightning gun is the exact same as this black hole shooting, this like quote unquote void gun. This the game starts you off with a pistol and two shotguns. It's like they all function differently and have their own quirks, especially if they level up. But at their core, they all feel like they're the same.
I feel that up until the I like the topiary, the plant thing.
Yeah.
I like that. Exactly. I really actually now think about it. I like the throwing stuff because I think those were kind of varied. Yeah, like the Doom robots, the topiary, the shatter grenade, the actual grenade. And then I also like the bombardment thing.
Mm-hmm. Bombardier.
Bombardier. There we go. So like I feel like, for me, I started to lean more on those because that was able to set up more environmental traps, I guess, for the enemies.
I'm a psychopath when it comes to ration games in that I keep using the same gun over and over till it runs out of ammo. Then I switch to another gun. And if any of my guns get to level 5, I just don't touch them. Because when they give you 20 guns and you have to level them all up, it becomes counterintuitive to having a more balanced like guns toward the end of the game to just use your favorite. Because I could have easily stuck to the burst pistol, because once you get to level 5, that's actually a legitimately really good gun. You're stuck with that and it's plenty of good ammo. I probably could have got a lot of pickups. But then by the end of the game, there are guns that are much better than that I left at level 1. So that's how I've always played Ratchet games.
Oh, so yeah. I for this one, actually, I want to say 2016, I kind of started to just use the new guns as I got them, and just kind of I would literally just rotate between all the guns when I'm fighting people. So like if I'm fighting a boss, I would go through probably half of my guns before it goes down, and that was something that I just kind of gotten accustomed to. And for this, I think I because the guns do different things, like you can stun lock the enemies pretty effectively. And for me, that just became a cycle that I was doing where I would start out with the lightning. No, I would start out with the topiary to make the plants up grow on them, hold them still.
I would.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I would do the electric gun that shoots if you shoot enough of them, it will like shock them. Yeah. And then I would go to the cold snap, the cold block ice gun thing. all these have titles. I just don't know the names of them. And you
could, you were right about Cold Snap. It was Cold Snap.
It was Cold Snap. Okay.
I think this game was like this game had a pretty good balance of pick the gun that you enjoy using to dispatch enemies, and also what situation makes sense to use which weapon, but more so on the former. And I think that may be because of enemy design. Like, there were some enemies that would rush you. There were some enemies that would engage you at a range. And there were some enemies that were highly mobile, you know, like be like the gunships or whatever the fuck. Yeah. Like, trying to shoot those out the air effectively. Part of me wishes it was a little bit closer to the latter. So it would make sense to employ a gun that has an AoE or a clear AoE versus a gun that is more precision-based. I use the ricochet as a get out of jail free card if I'm not trying to aim at them. So it just like smacks them around and shit like that. Pretty hilariously though. That gun was funny as shit. But yeah, the enforcer, like once I max that out, that was very effective at like large groups of bun rushing enemies. You know, like, the, like those green slime fuckers, they can't handle the enforcer. Like, just wipe those guys out in two, three pulls. But yeah, like I have heard that the enemy variety, you know, could have been fleshed out a little bit. And which played into the gun, which in a way does play into the gunplay.
This gets to a greater point I have about this, and it's comparing it to other Ratchet games. Like, once again, this is just like memories of old of me playing like 20 games over the last how old am I? I'm not going to say a number, but long story short, long amount of time. But like, most Ratchet games had like 10 to 15 worlds. Most of them are relatively small. Some of them are huge, but like 10 to 15 worlds. This is a game that has like 8.
Yeah, 9.
So it's like, I think this is the least amount of actual levels in the Ratchet game. And for the most part, it isn't like, oh, you're going to keep going back to old places and having stuff open up. It's like, these are your worlds, these are your things. And like, I think that breeds a little bit of, and as a direct result, we're not, I agree with Jordan's point that this is like, the enemy variety isn't high. Like, you've got your custom nefarious boss, which are like 5, and then they're upgrades. And then, like, every once in a while, you'll find some minor fauna, and every once in a while, you find some mega fauna. There's not really a lot of bosses in this game.
Yeah, two.
That's a little disappointing.
I will say,
I'd say anybody
like,
with
like boss with enemies,
boss or mini boss.
Yeah, well, the bosses,
your enemies that show up with a health bar over their heads, but there's not like proper, oh, I'm at the end of this level, here's a high-level encounter enemy that I'm going to fight and test myself on.
Yeah.
To Avery's point, those bosses they introduce to the health bars become minions later on in the game.
Right.
Like, just fucking kill them.
I think they did that because they're still trying to make the game accessible.
Oh, yeah, no, this is
foundation. That's what I was going to say.
This is a foundation for better things.
Where, because I feel like the decisions that were made in terms of, like, enemy variety and kind of the way that they mapped out just the fact that you never are put into a situation where one gun that you're using isn't going to work. So I like the fact that they're able to say, just pick whatever you want. It'll work. Mm-hmm. You just maybe have to play a little smarter in certain
or
cases than others.
Yeah.
But I think it is a lot of the decision gameplay wise was made due to the fact that, as you said earlier, this is a lot of people's first Ratchet game.
Yeah.
And so they had to think about this aspect of, okay, we're getting a lot of new fans coming in here, so we want to have a relatively low barrier of entry while still making it enjoyable and also displaying, like, instead of having a bunch of enemy variety, what we're going to do is we're going to utilize the power of the PlayStation 5 and just have a bunch of shit on screen so that, you know,
a bunch.
Yeah. So when things get crazy, it's less about the variety of enemies, but rather the amount of things that you're going to have to fight.
Real quick.
I just
wait, like, before you, real quick. at the end of the game where Rivet is fighting Nefarious and Nefarious calls in all of his minions mm-hmm. and there's just like a like basically a cloud of enemies. I was taken back to Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, two.
I was like, yes, I have so much ammo and I'm ready for everyone. Let's go.
Yeah, I did think I was gonna be able to fight some of them.
Yeah. Wait, Jordan was gonna say something. Sorry.
Yeah, like it was one quick thing, and it was a specific portion of the pirate level, which it didn't rub me the wrong way.
Looking for,
blue. But when entertainment companies do things like this, I kind of say, okay, is this performative or is this like, do you mean this? And I don't know if they're joking about it. I can't tell. It was when you were like in the pirate trials. And the mimic game, and one of the mimic sections was like
we had to shoot the different ones. Okay.
But then it went to like, you know, respecting women, like respecting women as mm-hmm. one of the sequence things.
Yeah.
It's when I see things like that in the medium of satire, right? Like is I hope. I mean, I'm pretty sure Insomniac is a diverse shop, and I'm more than confident that they're forward thinking. But it's like that is a true issue, and it's like,
is this a joke
or is this a what's
to me? It seemed like they were just. I think they were just taking the piss out of the all. Pirates or men type thing. Like that's what it seemed like to me. It seemed like they were just taking the piss out of like you have to be a man captain and all pirates are
whatever. In regards to that, and I'm going to chalk that up to satire because the writer of this game, who at least is the head writer of this game, is a woman. So I'm just going to chalk that up to satire.
Okay. With that information, my perspective changed because, you know, usually when I would see, we would see that in movies and media, it's like it's performative. And
yeah, if this was out of a David Cage game, I'd be like, yeah, this is bullshit right here.
Yeah. Like when I was going through that, I didn't really think anything of it either.
Yeah, I just took it as satire at the time. Yeah. I get what you're talking about, Jordan. It's one of those things where you got if stuff like that shows up in content you enjoy, you got to at least acknowledge it. Definitely. Just so people are aware of it and we can move on from things like that.
Right. The last thing that I wanted to kind of just give its roses to was the Phantom Dash.
Thing was slick.
The Phantom
Stranger. Oh, once you mentioned like how to use it differently, you can get through levels pretty quickly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I really love the versatility of that move. It was one of those things where once I got it, I was like, oh, this is cool. I kind of thought, okay, well, will we just be getting a bunch of different skills for Ratchet and Rivet or how's it going to go? But like, because that was like really the only primary skill that you got.
And the boots.
When you put those Jones together, you're basically like darting across
the screen. can't hit me. But that was I'm assuming that's gonna be something that stays in Ratchet's arsenal going forward. But yeah, it was really good.
I was just gonna say it shows that there was no crunch in this game. If y'all talking about like the lack of enemy diversity and whatnot, they came and did their 9 to 5 really, really hard and then went home.
Yeah.
And I mean, they still put out a solid effort. Secondly, real quick, I was just going to say I like how all the weapons affect everybody, even the bosses. The Joviary Sprinkler, the Pixelator, all that shit.
Oh, yeah. Like once that giant metal worm once that caught, like, I got the Topiary, I was like, oh, let's go. This is awesome.
Like I understand why it is a factor in games, especially certain games like your Souls games or, you know, other games. One of my least favorite things is when you have weapons that don't work on certain types of enemies. Like, I get it, but it always annoys me where I'm just like, oh my God, okay, well, what if I don't have ammo for this thing that doesn't work on, you know, like that. That always annoys me. So I'm glad
I guess you're going to die.
Right. So, yeah.
All right, so we can wrap this up by let's round robin a couple of questions. Did Rift Apart meet your expectations, and what is its place in the greater Ratchet franchise?
Avery. Yes, it met my expectations completely. Like, when I saw this game, I'm like, this is going to be a good Ratchet game. I got a good Ratchet game. I wasn't expecting, nor did I really want something to... I didn't want the God of War of Ratchet games. I just wanted a Ratchet game, so I got that. And I will say, in the place of the greater Ratchet game, Ratchet franchise, I think this is definitely up there as probably one of the top two Ratchet games ever made.
What's the second?
It might be A Crack in Time.
Okay, which was that was really good. When you said the God of War Ratchet, I just thought of Ratchet saying clink. Jordan.
Yes, it met my expectations. As I said at the beginning, you know, a lot of my affinities towards like the original Ratchet and Clanks on the PS2. Even though I wanted quote unquote more adult content with this format, you don't get so adult. I think they handled the franchise of care. I'm very excited to see what happened next. And what was the last question you asked?
Where does this stand for you in the greater Ratchet franchise?
I haven't played enough Ratchets to have a definitive answer.
Number one, all right.
It's like, compared to the original ones, there's no comparison. I mean, it blows those out the water, of course, in terms of content and performance.
Technology and all that, yeah.
But this was better than 2016, because 2016 was a redo of, you know, the first Ratchet and Clank, so it's pretty solid. It's a fun game to play over the weekend.
Okay, Marcus?
It did meet and slightly exceed my expectations. And where it stands in the greater Ratchet universe, since I didn't play most of the other ones, I'll say it stands as a possible launch point for me further in the future.
Awesome.
I feel like I got my money's worth. And to Jordan's point, I did enjoy the more mature, risque humor of the PS2 versions. And
you wanted to see Rivet's cheeks, Sean?
I mean, just look at the internet, dude. They knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing.
No, I was gonna say more quote unquote like adult Pixar style humor mixed in there would have been nice. But I can see why they wouldn't do that if this is going to a broader audience. Like, it wasn't necessarily niche back in the day, but there was so much more variety and less people.
There wasn't focus on it.
Yeah, they didn't have the focus on them, so they could just do whatever the hell they felt like back then. Mm-hmm. Now, gaming is seen as a legit entertainment avenue for the masses now, and more people's eyes are on it. Like, it's not like Grand Theft Auto where, like, you know, that's going to make headlines and people are going to be paying attention to that, but as a whole, people are going to more scrutinize more entertainment like that now. We have Reddit, we got all these different forums and all this other shit. More people are consuming entertainment as a whole in the gaming industry. So they're kind of limited by what they do, unless you're like an indie studio. But yeah.
Makes sense. I mean, this absolutely met my expectations. This is like Ratchet is my platformer of choice.
Drug of choice.
I say that thinking Mario, and a lot of people love Mario. I just never jived with platforming in Mario. Always.
What do you have against Italians, DJ?
Wow. I like the pasta. The pasta's great.
Wow, that's all they make, DJ?
What? No.
They make cars too.
They make spaghetti. Spaghetti's awesome as well.
Did you just say you like spaghetti?
Shut up. Okay, so we're
I mean, they didn't make spaghetti. They took spaghetti it from Chinese. Spaghetti is also
a pasta. You're right. Idiot. Go ahead. Anyway.
Well, this is problematic. Where does Ratchet stand in the greater franchise for me? Where does this game stand? I'm putting this like top. Like I think for me, it's one of those things of, not in the negative light, but what have you done for me lately? I think.
Oh, wow.
But not in the negative light, because 2016 Ratchet was great. I loved it at the time. I think this is leagues better than any of the other Ratchet games I played. I don't remember too much of what is it. What was that? Which one did you mention, Avery?
A Crack in Time.
Crack in Time. Yeah, I know that was great, and I loved it at the time, but I don't really remember too much of it.
I think A Crack in Time probably has the better story.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah, you're right. I do remember that part. So yeah, like I enjoyed this game. Right now this is top for me, as I said earlier. This is right now my game of the year. Next question. We got about 4 minutes. We can do this. What happened?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Who's planning on, well, Avery already platinum it, but who's planning on platinum this game?
I did it too.
Oh, you, okay. Sean did too.
And I got all the Omega weapons, I said.
Oh, that yeah. Require the platinum.
I know.
I just got it.
He's just flexing that he's playing more than me.
The one game I played more than Avery.
I take pride. It took me only 2.5 days.
I have a baby.
I was in the hospital.
No excuses. You have remote play. I played Last of Us Part 2 in the hospital.
But anyways, Marcus and Jordan, are you guys platinuming it or no?
Hell no.
No,
well, yeah. I'm done. I played a game in eight months. That's how it is. I don't shit to go through right now. I had a great time. Rollercoaster's over.
I'm at 89%, and I got all those trophies organically.
Mm-hmm.
I might platinum it, but I'm not in a rush to platinum it. It's not one of those games where it was like I made it like a mission to platinum Persona 5 Royale. Like I made certain games, I've made missions to platinum. This, I'm kind of like, I got what I needed out of it if I decide to platinum it.
Easy.
Yeah, Avery, easy. But I don't care.
Look, man.
It's fine, Marcus.
All right.
The 89% just gonna haunt you for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Hey, Marcus, did you know Jamaican beef spaghetti?
You're just gonna look on PSN. You're just gonna look on PSNProfiles.com. It's gonna tell you the remaining trophies are easy. It's gonna remind you that trophies are there.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So just to end this off, like there's two other questions, but I kind of feel like we've kind of talked about it through the talkings of this. So let's rate the game, everyone. What Avery, what would you give it out of 11? What would you
give? Ooh, out of 11.
No, out of 10.
8.59.
Oh, okay. Wait, 8.59 or 8.5 or 9?
8.5 or 9, in between there. Like, you didn't give me, I don't know what type of scale we're working on. It could be a 20-point scale. Is it a 10-point scale? I'm covering my bases.
That works. Jordan?
Between 8 and 8.5. Okay. That's pretty good. I recommend playing this at some point.
All right, Marcus?
I give it a solid 9.
Okay. Sean?
I give it an A-. Just because I want to be different.
Mother. No.
He's operating on a 10-point scale, so an A- would be... Oh, actually, no. That's a 12. He's operating on... I don't even know what scale he's operating on at this point. I'm not medical. I can't
broke Avery, Sean.
An 8 or 9 is pretty solid, though. This is a game that I don't think anybody would regret spending their money on and playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you get, like, catch it on sale or something, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
As I said before, I had two major issues with the game, and I'm still basically at a 9 with this game.
What were your issues?
The first one was near the beginning, where I fell off the world, and the autosave wouldn't load to the point where it crashed my PS5, and I had to turn off my PS5 and turn it back on. And
would
then
you say that's a gameplay issue though, or anything like that? That could be the PlayStation memory buffer just fucking up for whatever reason.
That's very true. I don't know where it came from, but you know, yeah. I've been playing Ratchet. And then the second issue was with Nefarious, where he at the end of the game, I'm not sure if it was the combo weapons I was using. I used the cold snap with the Rhino gun to basically just you know, do as much damage as I could. He left. He came back. When he came back, he was at 1% health, and his health just wasn't moving. So, and I basically had to just reload the game from there. Those on the face of it seems like major issues, but I've had such a good time with the game that it really didn't bother me. It didn't bother me enough to drop the score down for me. So, yeah, I'm at a 9.
Yeah.
With that being said, in our official Press X to Start ratings, we hope you enjoyed this review as much as we enjoyed playing the game and talking about it. Don't forget to rate us on your favorite podcasting apps, because every little bit counts. Don't forget to watch, like, and subscribe on our YouTube channel at pressx2start.com/YouTube. And if you miss any of this, you can find all the details and more on our website at pressx2start.com. Until next time, where we'll be reviewing, yikes, I don't even know, Horizon? If it comes out this year? I don't know. Whatever.
Kenna, Bridge of Spirits.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's August. Yeah, until then, we'll see you later. We'll see you on the actual podcast. So, peace.
Goodbye, everyone.